And welcome to Cultura en Cash. This is your host, Giovanna Gonzalez, otherwise known as Gigi or the First Gen Mentor. I'm a financial educator, speaker, and author of the best-selling book, Cultura en Cash. When I started this podcast a few months ago, I had talked to some experienced podcasters and they gave me the advice to have some podcast episodes batched in advance in case I was disrupted by life and I wasn't able to continue my regular cadence, which for me, I've decided that Mondays are best for me to be putting out new episodes. And I missed, I think, last Monday. I hope not two. I think it's only been one Monday that I've missed. But yeah, now I lived it. I lived it. Life happens. And as a loyal podcast listener myself, that's probably one of my biggest pet peeves when my podcast episodes that I like don't come out when they're supposed to. The podcast episodes that I listen to religiously come out on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I rely on them to get by on my day. They've just been a part of my routine for so long. So I know how important it is to have a weekly cadence. So I will make a better effort at having some evergreen podcasts ready to go so that you guys don't miss an episode. But life did life. If you watch my Instagram stories, you saw that I did a lot of traveling. Some of it was planned, some of it was not. I had already planned to go to LA for my third book tour stop, specifically in Bellflower at Bolster's Cafe. I will talk about that later. And then I also had planned to split my time in Mexicali to visit my family. I haven't seen my family since July, so it was nice to get some quality time in with my family. Then I was supposed to go to San Diego for a quick work event, and then I was going to fly home. But my family trip got cut short when I was contacted by TikTok about the opportunity to go to DC to voice my opposition for this TikTok ban, which is what I would like this episode to focus on. Probably is maybe not what you exactly signed up for with this podcast, you know, given that I'm supposed to be talking about career tips, money tips, but none of this podcast, this book, money or career tips would be possible if it weren't because of TikTok. So this is a very important issue to me and to other creators and to my TikTok audience that I've connected with and fostered for the last 3 years. So I'm hoping to share this episode to give you a little insight into what happened in DC, what's going on with the ban, and how you can help. But first, I want to do some quick housekeeping. Again, thank you, LA, for showing up and supporting me and Alejandra Capoverdi at Bolster's Cafe. Thank you, Gabby, for hosting us. We had such a good time meeting everybody, laughing, hugging you all, getting to know your stories. So I saw older friends, too, that I haven't seen in a while. So it was such a good time. And it was a smaller event. It was a small venue. We only had a capacity of 35. So it was a very intimate conversation. So thanks again, Gabby, for hosting us. Chicago, I'm having an event with you this week. I've been promoting it for quite some time, and now I did check with the founder of Latina Sweat Project, and it is sold out. This event will be very different from my other book tour stop events that center around my book. This one is more about women. It's called Women, Wealth, and Wellness, and it'll just be about incorporating yoga and wellness and financial literacy, all for women, all women-centered. So yeah, my book will be like a small portion of it. So I like it to kind of change up the rhythm. But yeah, those tickets are sold out. If you're going this Thursday, I will see you there. LA, I will be back in LA. I am leaving again to LA this weekend. It is not fun to fly back-to-back to the West Coast, but I am doing it because the opportunity to attend Latina Fest came up. And I thought it would be a good way for me to give ample opportunity to my LA readers to come and attend, because I knew that the Bellflower / Bolsteres event was going to sell out because of the limited capacity. Latina Fest is huge. I asked them, and apparently they had 3,000 attendees last year. So again, they have a lot of capacity. The tickets are very inexpensive. They're $10. So come, bring a friend, bring your tía, bring your prima, and come check out the festival. I am going to have a panel that I'm going to be a speaker on with Alejandra Campoverdi. So this will be our third event together, Ale Gigi. Then I'm also going to have an author booth for an hour. So to give you more insight, the author panel is at 12:30. Author booth is at 1 to 2. Then I pass my booth to do another panel. I believe it's called a wealth panel from 2 to 2:30. And then I go back to my author booth from 2:30 to 4. So if you want to stop by just for the author booth, if you want to stop by to do the author booth and to listen to me speak, you're welcome to come. There's going to be a lot of vendors, a lot of food. So definitely come and check it out. It'll be in downtown LA. And I will be selling books at this event. Out of all my events that I've done, I'm like, I'm not selling books because it's too much hassle for me to carry. But Latina Fest is going to help me out with coordinating the books. So I already had 200 copies shipped over there. So I will be selling books and signing books, doing meet and greets. But so get there early if you want to buy a book from me. If you want to make sure that you get your book signed and you don't want to risk a chance of them selling out, make sure to buy your own copy in advance. You can buy it from your local bookstore or from bookshop.org. Go to culturaencash.com to see all those links. And you can bring your own copy to the author book and we can take pictures that way. Let's see here. All right, I went over the schedule for Latina Fest. And yes, you can access those tickets at culturaencash.com or latinafest.com. To finish up here, I will have an event in Orange County. This is new. I will be there on April 18th. I am hoping that this is an event that any Orange County readers can attend, as well as any South LA County or North San Diego or San Diego. When I lived in San Diego, I would go to events in Orange County if I really wanted to. So I know it's not too bad of a drive. It's like an hour, hour and a half. Right now, I don't have any plans to go to San Diego. I may go in September, but it's not for sure. But what is for sure is this OC event on April 18th. So if you're in any of those areas that I mentioned, mark your calendar. And also let me know if you know of any Latina or first-gen professionals organizations that I could partner with and collaborate with to host a book tour stop. So whether it's me doing a book reading and a book signing or doing a quick panel and then a book signing. But yeah, I'm looking into options, but if you have any leads or anybody you can introduce me to, please DM me on Instagram and we can take it from there. But yeah, I would appreciate any guidance. Right now I'm thinking I'm going to rent out a Latina owned coffee shop to hold this event at. But like I said, if you have a contact or you know somebody who'd be interested in collaborating with me and we're like-minded and hold the same values, I would definitely like to explore that. New York City, last one. All right. So in case you didn't know, the World Spiro Bookshop with Book Papi, aka Adrian, sold out immediately. I didn't even get a chance to promote it on socials because the way the hierarchy goes is my Cultura and Cash crew gets access first. These were my readers, my first readers that got access to my book. They get first access, then my newsletter community. After those have been shared with those two communities, then I share on socials, like on Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn. So my newsletter sold it out, so it didn't even make it to socials. And again, this sold out quickly because it was a small venue. I believe we also have 35, maybe 40 seats capacity at the bookshop in Queens. So I'm sorry for you guys that didn't get to get a ticket. This is why I tell you to sign up for my newsletter, because you get exclusive access to things like this. You can go to the link in my bio and any of my social media accounts to sign up for my free newsletter. I send monthly emails and we'll send you emails when something like this happens. Like, hey, tickets just opened up with Book Papi, get your ticket here. The good news is I am doing a second event in New York City. It will be on April 3rd, so it'll be the same trip that I go for the Book Papi event. And this will be with the NYU Latinx Alumni Network. It was supposed to be a private event, but they've been generous enough to open it to the public. So you do not have to be NYU alumni to attend. Tickets are $15. And if you go to culturaencash.com, you'll see the link where you can purchase that ticket. Again, that'll be in Manhattan on April 3rd with NYU Latinx Alumni Network. All right, now that we covered all that, let's talk about this TikTok ban bill. Yes, it's a ban bill, and I will tell you why. So again, in case you missed it, I was in Washington, D.C. to voice my opposition to the TikTok ban bill. In case you haven't heard it, I mean, it was quite all the news stories. When was it? On Thursday? Thursday and Friday. Everybody was nonstop talking about it. All the big major media networks were covering this story because it's a pretty big story. So what's going on is our House of Representatives fast-tracked this bill to ban TikTok on the basis that the app poses, and I'm going to use invisible quotation marks, poses national security risks because TikTok is owned by ByteDance, which ByteDance is a Chinese-owned company. So this bill force, if passed into law, into legislation, which means that first the Senate has, well, the House already approved it, next it would be the Senate, and then the president signs off on it, it would be signed into law. If it were signed into law, it would mean that ByteDance, again, TikTok's owner, parent company, would have, I believe it's 180 days to sell TikTok to a U.S. investor. And any expert in merger and acquisitions has said that 180 days is not enough time for a company the size of TikTok to be sold off. So basically, these lawmakers are setting it up so that this divestment doesn't go through. It's just not feasible. And the main supporters of the bill have said, actually, it is a TikTok ban bill. So they're saying it with their chest. There's tweets. You can look them up. So they're not denying that this is a ban bill. But a lot of people get confused because they're like, well, they're not banning it. They just want to make sure that there's American ownership. But that's not how things work. Like, imagine if, you know, the Chinese did that to us and, oh, well, Meta has to be owned by Chinese. No, you don't get to tell another business how they do their business, right? So it's just wild to me that the audacity of our Congress, they claim the national security concerns are that the Chinese Communist Party can manipulate the algorithm, misuse data, and hurt kids' mental health. The Chinese Communist Party does not own TikTok. Again, ByteDance does, and that's just a Chinese company. My opinion on this whole thing is, again, it's BS. I'm not even going to entertain the part about them supposedly being concerned about kids' mental health and how much time they're spending on the app. They don't care about kids. If they cared about kids, they would pass gun reform, and they don't, and they're never going to, right? So they can save that for somebody who will believe them. I will not believe them. It can shut up. I just don't believe it. There's also no evidence. They have not provided any evidence to show that the algorithm has been manipulated or data has been misused. There were similar concerns about data being misused last year. So TikTok has then moved its U.S. data to U.S.-based Oracle. So it is stored in the U.S., but they still have these concerns, even though the data is stored here in Oracle. Let's see what else. Yeah, I mean, if my opinion as somebody who is an avid, not just a TikTok creator, but a TikTok user. I did an interview where with Fox 32 here in Chicago, and they're like, okay, so we understand why, you know, it's in your best self-interest to have the app because that's your creator on it and you make money on it. But what about for everybody else? And I'm like, well, that's the thing. I actually get a lot more enjoyment out of TikTok as a user than I do as a creator, because as a creator, it's work for me. I have to track the analytics. I have to post, I have to edit videos, like for the perfect sound, add captions. It's a lot of work. Whereas a user, I just get to consume and enjoy and have fun and learn something new and connect with people, share opinions, right? So it's so much more fun for me to be a TikTok user. And what really upsets me about this whole thing is that I don't think it's about national security threats. I don't think it's about data. I mean, how many times has Meta and Instagram misused our data? I think this is really about censorship. I don't think our government likes that news travel very quickly on TikTok and they don't have a way to censor what we do or don't see. Think about what we've seen on TikTok. If you're not on TikTok, you probably won't know what I'm talking about, but anybody that is on TikTok has seen the atrocities that are going on with the Palestinian genocide. These are all things that we never had access to before because we relied on traditional media and whatever these big corporations fed to us. But now with TikTok being an uncensored platform that the U.S. government can't control, now they have an issue with it, right? With how fast things travel, how people can organize and boycott against Starbucks, boycott against Kellogg's, boycott against McDonald's. That's what the real issue is, in my opinion. And it's about censorship. It's about censorship. And last time I checked, this was a free country. And we have the freedom of speech and freedom of expression. So the fact that they're trying to silence 170 million American U.S. users that are on the app is wild to me. And I really hope that this doesn't pass through because, like I said, I so much for us being free, right? But our government is acting like a very authoritarian. So it's just something else. I can't believe. I don't know. Oh, my God. Maybe I might move to the homeland, you know, because this is not it. Let's see here. So, yeah, what's disappointing to me and a lot of people on the TikTok community is how fast this went through, right? It was like whiplash from how it moved within the House within like a week. They voted on it the next week, and it had bipartisan support. So both houses or both Democrats and Republicans were in favor of this, largely in favor of this. And it's disappointing because there's so many other real issues that affect Americans every day that these same politicians can't agree on. You know, our kids keep getting shot up in schools. Nobody's going to pass gun reform. Women's reproductive rights are being stripped away. You know, housing is so expensive. So is childcare. And then you guys wonder why people aren't having kids. Legislation should instead be focused on keeping drug prices and healthcare accessible for all, passing Medicare for all. So it's really frustrating that when they want to, they unite and it's for something stupid. And we know there's lobbyists that are working very hard behind the scenes to make this happen. I'm pretty sure Meta's behind this. They've tried to keep up with TikTok. They haven't been able to replicate the TikTok results. So I'm sure that camp is really happy for this. The other thing that's really upsetting is there is no concern for how removing the platform or banning the platform will affect small business owners who use the app to drive sales. I got to personally meet a lot of these people when I was in DC. This man that owns a plan shop and most of his sales come from TikTok. This other couple that has a skincare company and 90% of their sales are from TikTok. And the other thing that they're really underestimating, and I'm not surprised because Congress is run by a bunch of boomers, is they don't understand the size of the creator economy. The creator economy is a multi-billion dollar economy. I'm a part of it. As an influencer, I have people that work for me. They're not on the payroll full time, but they're contractors that I work with, right? So I work with a virtual assistant, a project manager. I have a website designer that I work with frequently. Right now, I have my publicist that I'm working on for my book tour. All these people cost money, and I need all these people to continue doing the work that I do. So if I am out of revenue, if I no longer have a source of income, then how am I going to pay these people, right? So that it has a domino effect on the economy. And with layoffs already happening just everywhere, it's really stupid. It's really stupid. So I think that might appeal to the Republicans in all this, since they claim to care about the economy and jobs. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, that's what pisses me off, that the small business owners that have been able to thrive on an app that doesn't require a lot of upfront investment. Think of myself, right? I am a small business owner, and I started my business as a financial educator on TikTok. I didn't have to set up a brick and mortar shop and put a sign and invest in all this marketing material and say that I'm a financial educator, right? I was just able to show up authentically online, share my knowledge with others in a relatable and approachable way, and I've been able to secure work with organizations that way, right? So it's just made it really easy for people to show up, to share knowledge, share information, and they are trying to shut all that down. Let's see here. So yeah, the other point is that influencers like myself, right, that rely on brand deals to keep afloat. Remember, I did not get a book deal to write Cultura in cash, which means that last year when I was spending the majority of the year writing the book, I needed income to be able to pay my living expenses and to cover the production costs of the book, because the TikTok grant only covered $50,000. I've since needed about $40,000 more of my own money for everything, book promotion, book production costs. And guess how I paid for that? It was through brand deals, right? So by working with big partners like Fidelity, TurboTax, Credit Karma, Lean In, Secret Deodorant, all these big partners that I work with have made it possible for me to invest in my business. And I'm in the business of helping others. That's the thing that I try to explain to Fox 32, you know, because they try to just paint TikTok as it's just for dancing teenagers. But there's a lot of people that are making meaningful change and having a big impact in people's lives through TikTok, right? So I know, I think about my friend Tiffany Yu, who is a person with a disability, and she's a disability advocate, and she has an anti-ableism series, and she educates people on the right terminology to use and what not to say and what not to do with people that you interact with that have a disability. I think about Joel Bavel, who's frequently featured by TikTok. He is, I believe, a medical student. He might be a doctor now. And he's Black, and he talks about how the current medicine textbooks don't serve the Black community. Like, that is cool work. I never even knew that that existed, right? That there were those discrepancies with our medical system until people like him brought it to light. My friend Garrison Hayes, I'm so proud of him. He teaches Black history. So everything that they never taught us in the history books, he teaches Black history, and I've learned so much from his account. I personally would never be where I'm at if it weren't for TikTok. And I said this before over and over on podcast interviews that, you know, when I started doing TikTok, there were other platforms. There was YouTube. There was Instagram. There was Facebook. There were podcasts even. But I never had the guts to dip my toe into any of those platforms, because with Instagram, I already had friends that I was connected to, and I'm like, they're going to be like, who does she think she is? With YouTube, I felt there was too much editing required, and I'm just like, oh, who has time to learn all that? With TikTok, because the videos are so short, they're 60 seconds, they're so easy to edit. And at first, there was this anonymous component to it, which was really nice when nobody knew who I was. None of my friends knew I was doing TikTok, and I could just be this new person. I love that. Oh, that take me back. April 2021. But like I said, there's people that are on this app making a positive influence, having a positive influence on other people's lives, sharing career tips, money tips like myself, to communities that have been traditionally overlooked and underserved. And the fact that the government thinks they can just rip this away from us because they are intimidated by how easily we can share information is just not cool. Let's see here. Last thing I wanted to share, that this isn't just about the small business owners that it affects, the creator economy, how it affects my source of revenue. It's also about the community. I know so many introverts who have found their people on the app. You know, so they don't have an easy time forming connections with people in real life, but on apps, on the app, you know, through the comment section or through their favorite creators' videos and constantly replying to them or joining their lives, they feel that human connection. And that's so important for our mental health and for people who, especially people that work from home and they're isolated all day. So we live in a digital world now, and that's why these boomers don't get it. They don't even know how to attach a PDF. So they don't understand that we connect with others online. I have so many online friends. As a matter of fact, I just met one in LA at this Bolsters event. Shout out to Janet. Janet has been my online friend for 2 years. But I feel like I've known her for 10 years because digitally we've been connected. We shared a lot of personal information. And when I met her for dinner before Postres, we went to Postres together. I felt like I was having dinner with a good old friend that I've known for 10 years. Even though, like I said, it was my very first time meeting her in real life. But that's the power of connecting with people online. I met my husband online. I don't know if I've shared that on this podcast. I know people in my real life know this, but yeah, I met my husband on eHarmony. So like I said, times have changed, and the fact that these boomers just want to reduce TikTok to some teenager's dancing app, and I've always joked about it being a teenager's dancing app. It stopped being that years ago. So yeah, I think about people that have found their community on the app, people that rely on creators to gain knowledge and information. I also think about the future first-gen mentor that comes after me, right? Because luckily for me, professionally, I've been able to evolve from just being a TikToker. And that was one of the big reasons why professionally I wanted to write the book, right? I wanted to write the book to make an impact, to share knowledge with others. But selfishly, I had my own professional goals, right? And part of that was to be able to evolve from just a content creator to a published author. And I've accomplished that with Cultura en Cash. But so I already had my eye on like what's next, right? I knew that no social media platform could be my home forever because I don't own any social media platform, right? So that's why I work hard to build my newsletter, sign up for my newsletter. That's why I work hard to build my speaking business and keep making connections and networking. And now with the book, I want to get the book in everybody's hands. The same way that I Will Teach You to Be Rich is like a go-to book. I want Cultura en Cash to be the go-to book for Latinas and Latinos. So I put a lot of work, though, a lot of work and money to get there. And thank God for the backing of TikTok that allowed me to do that with the TikTok Latinx Creatives Grant. But like I said, even though I'll be fine, I will now be making the majority of my revenue from speaking, from, you know, being an author, because, again, this is where my career is now headed. I think about, well, what about the future? The next me that could have come out after me or is now in the works or is barely getting traction with her account and now she's going to be shut down and she's not going to have the same opportunities to serve her community like I did because these boomers don't understand TikTok. So it's frustrating. It's really frustrating, and I'm thankful that I was in and did something with my account when I did, made something out of it, which is a book and my speaking career. But again, I have so many friends who haven't had the privilege of having the time or financial resources that I've had to be able to evolve into something else. And they're very much stuck as being content creators or in that content creator phase. And it's not fair to not let them have an opportunity to thrive, especially when they're serving others. So anywho, enough of a rant. Let me see. What can you do now? Let's see here. Yeah, what can you do? So again, this isn't passed into law yet. We're hoping that the Senate slows the roll because, again, the House is just like steamrolling through this. But the Senate will take this a lot more seriously because senators are in office a lot longer, right? So they can't be as reckless as the House was. Hopefully the Senate won't even take it up. If the Senate does take it up, then they'll have to vote on it. If they pass on it, then it would move on to be signed off by President Biden. And unfortunately, President Biden has said from the beginning that he would approve this bill, which is very harmful and very ignorant. And that's a video coming that it's just the hypocrisy, right? Because I know the White House had creators for their State of the Union address watch party. And I have a video of Joe Biden. I record it because I'm like, this is going to come handy one day. And there you go. Of Joe Biden saying, thank you, creators, for being here. You have more, you know, a bigger audience than all media outlets combined. Thank you for being here and supporting. And then literally the next day, he's trying to shut down TikTok, or he shared that statement saying that he would be willing to sign that bill. So as a liberal, it breaks my heart that the Biden campaign would be that stupid to do something like this during an election year, because I think they're basically giving the election to Trump, and that's scary. That was a question that I was asked, actually, by one of the news outlets that I spoke with. They said, hey, we know this issue is important to you. Did you vote for Joe Biden in 2020? I said, I did. And they said, if he signs this bill into law, would that affect your decision to vote for him? And I know some people have been very bold and said that they will, because TikTok matters that much to them, because that's how they make money. That's how they earn a living. Whatever the reasons are, they believe very strongly in their First Amendment right, and it's being shut down. Whatever the reasons are. Of course, I oppose this bill, but I am not a single issue voter, so I would not just let that dictate who I vote for. I have lived through a Trump presidency. We all have. We all saw how that went down, and we cannot go through one again. But yeah, it is frustrating how ignorant things are being ran in the White House. Let's see here. So yeah, besides contacting your senators and asking them to vote no on this bill, you can call them or email them, send them letters, let them know why you enjoy TikTok, why you want to stay around. Let them know that you believe this is them oppressing your First Amendment rights. Let them know how valuable TikTok is to you. You can also contact the White House. I personally spam the White House every time they come on my Instagram feed, and I put the hashtag keep TikTok or stop playing and don't take our TikTok away, because all this stuff matters. And when I have more time, I will be making videos directly addressing my senators and the White House, because this is not okay. Anywho, I hope that was helpful and informative. I will be sharing some articles where I was quoted giving my opinion on this TikTok ban. I did an interview with Fox 32. If you follow me on Instagram stories, you may have seen it. It was a very heated interview. The Fox affiliates aren't supposed to be like nasty, but this woman was nasty, and it's fine, whatever. It's like a heated topic, right? TikTok ban. I spoke to the Washington Post. They were very creator friendly, which I'm not surprised. And then who else did I speak to? I spoke to somebody else, but I'm blanking. But yeah, you might have seen my picture. I'll share my picture when I share this episode. I was on the New York Times. I was on the Washington Post, the Financial Times. There's several big publications where there's a picture of me. I'm like the poster child of protesting against TikTok. I'm holding a sign that says, keep TikTok, and I'm wearing my orange dress. And I'm pictured in front of the Capitol Hill. But yeah, it's just, I left my family in Mexico to advocate for TikTok. Some media outlets have been spreading rumors that we were paid to be there. We were not paid to be there. I left my aging grandparents, to come to the States early and be a part of this, because that's how much TikTok matters to me. And I actually talked to them too. I said, hey, is cutting my trip with you guys short by a day, is this okay with you? And they said, you got to do what you got to do, and we know this is important to you. And honestly, it might be my last time ever seeing my grandpa. My grandpa's not doing well, but I know that I made the most out of the time that we had together, and I know that I did what I felt was right, and I also got their support to do it. So I am okay with that. Let's see here. To close up, I do want to share, I am in full swing back to speaking, and no, it's not because of the TikTok ban. This is already the plan. So my book launched in January. I've been in heavy promotion mode since November, promoting the book before I launched. Once it launched in January, still promoting the book, now doing the book tour. In April, it'll be Financial Literacy Month, and I have kept my calendar open to do speaking again. So if you are looking for a financial educator to come speak about the importance of financial literacy for the Latino or first generation community, if you like to do a fireside chat where I talk about the biggest teachings of my best-selling book, Cultura en Cash, contact me for that. My most popular workshop by far is Investing 101, where I teach the basics of how to get started investing in the stock market through your employer sponsored workplace retirement plan, like a 401k or a 403b. You can learn more about my offerings at my website, thefirstgenmentor.com. I already have a couple of bookings that reached out to me, so I haven't even had a chance to promote my speaking services because everything has been book promo, book promo, book promo. So I've already had some events lined up for Financial Literacy Month, and I will be sharing soon how I have availability. But if you're interested and you want to get first access, check out my website, thefirstgenmentor.com. And I think that's it for this episode. Again, sorry for the delay. I will not be missing episodes in the future. I'll figure how to keep this steady. Thank you for listening. Please contact your senators. Please contact the White House and let them know that you do not support this TikTok ban. If they know that we are engaged, they will listen to us because, and it's funny, one of the representatives that we met, he's like, politicians only care about two things. They care about money for their campaign, and they care about getting voted out, you know? So if you threaten these politicians with like, hey, you need to vote in my best interest and not whatever lobby's paying you for this, they will do the right thing. Because that's what they're there for. They're public servants that are supposed to represent our interests, not these corporate interests. Anywho, enough of my rant today. I hope that I was able to shed some light on the importance of opposing this TikTok ban and making your voice heard. And I will catch you next Money Monday.